time to talk sports. We welcome to the program our own sports reporter, Michael Coe. Michael, how's it going?
It's going well, Andy. Yeah, busy weekend just passed us and another busy weekend coming up as the Heels head out west.
That's right. How was your amazing, fun-filled weekend in the Queen City?
Oh, it was great. I mean, you know, made even better by the fact that the good guys just kept winning. But, you know, like I told you on Friday, it was really just a celebration of college basketball and college sports as a whole in Charlotte. Eight great fan bases there. A lot of Carolina fans, obviously. A lot of Tennessee fans, a lot of Texas fans, and several unaffiliated fans. I believe I saw Gonzaga. I saw Duke and NC State, of course. A lot of people just wearing college gear and college basketball gear. It was really a fun atmosphere. I'm glad I was involved.
Yeah, it really does end up just feeling like a celebration of the sport, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. This entire month, but really the first 4 days of the tournament are where you really get the best vibes, I guess, is the best way to say it.
I do repeatedly find myself almost like with a come down, like hint of depression after this first weekend closes.
Yeah.
I was having the conversation with my son. He was asking when the games were this weekend, and I was like, there's only like 8 games. And he was like, what? And I was like, I know it gets so small so fast.
No more 24/7 basketball, at least for the next 363 days.
That's right. Well, I always look forward to Feast Week when they have all the absurd tournaments November. It's kind of like your hors d'oeuvre of the season. Let's talk a little bit about the Carolina men's team because they look good. They didn't just get out of that, that tournament in advance. They looked pretty good doing it, I thought.
Yeah, they looked really good after looking really bad for the first 10 minutes or so against Michigan State. They were down 12, obviously, but then to come back and win that game by 16, that's a 28-point turnaround, Andy, and that's against a Michigan State team that was good enough to pretty handily beat a decent Mississippi State team in the first round. So definitely a good result for Carolina. There were some times in that game where it really felt like the Charlotte crowd made a difference in some of those runs that the Tar Heels were on, and especially when Michigan State was keeping it close in the second half. And that's something that Hubert Davis pointed to before the Charlotte tournament, as he called it, is that, you know, playing close to home is a reward for the outstanding season that the Tar Heels had up to this point. And it's something that RJ Davis and Armando Bacot hadn't experienced in their NCAA tournament careers, because when they made that run in 2022, they were an 8 seed playing far away from home. And in 2021, they were in the bubble in Indiana, and Armando has said that was one of the most miserable experiences of his life. So
I hear you, Armando. I've been in the bubble in Indiana before. I know how that goes.
Yeah, so certainly a reward for those guys, and it was good that they got the win.
Absolutely, and let's look ahead a little bit. I'm sure a lot of folks watched that Alabama-Grand Canyon game. It was a fun game to watch.
Oh, yeah.
What are your takeaways?
Yeah, so Alabama, they play a very chaotic style of basketball, and I say that in a complimentary way just because they get up and down the floor and they really score. They average 90 points per game, which is the tops in Division I. Unfortunately, they also average allowing 80 points per game, which is one of the worst marks in Division I. So they play up and down. Their games are usually high scoring. They've reached 100 points 10 times this season. They've also given up 100 points 3 times in the last 8 games. So this could certainly be a high-scoring game between two teams that like to run. Carolina, Alabama plays so fast, they play even faster than Carolina on average, and not a lot of teams do that.
Yeah, I see in that score that Grand Canyon was pretty methodical about trying to slow them down, and it worked, and they still won. So my next question was, what's the move here for UNC? You think we can just track meet them, right?
Yeah, it's possible. I do think Carolina could try to slow the game down because, I mean, look, Carolina's going to have better athletes and better basketball players than Grand Canyon. At least you would hope, right? And they would play better offense than the Antelopes did toward the end of that game, where they really got a little sloppy and gave the Tide a lot of advantages toward the end of that game that allowed them to go ahead and take the win, because Grand Canyon led late in the second half of that game, and I was thinking, well, Carolina's going to play a 12 seed in the Sweet 16.
That'd be nice. The television announcers were not kind to Grand Canyon at the end of that game. They were really just calling them out left and right.
Yeah, I mean, they had opportunities to really stretch the lead, and they gave them away, and Yeah, I mean, Carolina, I think it's an interesting matchup because, as I said, Carolina likes to run, but I don't think they like to run that much. So if you see R.J. Davis maybe pull up on the fast break or Elliott Cadeau do the same thing, that's not something you're used to seeing at this point in the season, but it's certainly something that could happen as Carolina looks to make the Tide uncomfortable.
Well, we'll come back to the men's tournament at the very end of the conversation so we can end on more of an upbeat note, but we do need to talk about the women's tournament as well.
Do we have to?
I guess we can keep it pretty short. I mean, I was feeling somewhat optimistic that it would be a competitive game, and then it very much was not.
Yeah. You know, Carolina has played South Carolina close both this season and in past seasons, but this game was different because it was in Columbia. The previous games were in Greensboro and in Chapel Hill. And yeah, you know, UNC, they were able to eke by Michigan State just because I think they probably had better players. That is not the case with the Gamecocks. The Gamecocks are the best team in women's college basketball. They are undefeated. They have very, very good players, and they are much, much deeper than a very depleted Tar Heel team. And man, it showed. When Alyssa Usby and Deja Kelly, your two best players, combined to turn the ball over 11 times, you're not going to have a good time, and your chances of losing by 41 points go up exponentially. And that is exactly what happened.
It certainly did. Really quickly on the women's tournament, anything? What are the other storylines that you're kind of following along with outside of the obvious see what happens with South Carolina's undefeated season?
Yeah, I mean, it has been a pretty good tournament for the ACC. Duke, a number 7 seed, went into number 2 Ohio State in Columbus and beat the Buckeyes. And so they're going to the Sweet 16. Duke's men's team is obviously going to the Sweet 16 as well. NC State, I believe, will be playing in the round of 32 today at some point in Reynolds. So the ACC, very strong women's basketball conference. So they're still going to have a lot of representatives as this tournament goes on.
And of course, also fun to watch Caitlin Clark. Any opportunity you get? Because wow.
Yeah, of course. I think we're heading toward a Caitlin Clark and South Carolina collision in the Final Four. I think that's what everyone would want to see.
Everybody wants that.
And that's certainly what the TV executives want to see.
Well, I will watch it if it happens. That's definitely.
I will too, because that was box office.
Absolutely. Looking back at the men's tournament, now we've talked about Carolina and kind of their side of things. What other takeaways do you have from the tournament, and is there any other matchup that you're particularly excited about this weekend?
Yeah, it's just the ACC is showing out again after being constantly undervalued all season. It feels like we've been saying the same song and verse for the past 2 or 3 years. But Clemson beating Baylor in the second round, they'll face Arizona. They're also in the West region with Carolina, so it could be a Clemson-Carolina Elite Eight matchup. NC State going to the Sweet 16 as an 11 seed, beating Oakland after beating Texas Tech. They'll play Marquette in the Sweet 16. That's a rematch of State's 1974 national championship win, obviously. And then Duke playing number 1 Houston. That's a fascinating matchup to me because, you know, Houston, they have a better record this season. They obviously have much better metrics. They are super tough on defense. I don't know if they've played a team that has the level of athletes that Duke has. So that could be an upset alert. I would not be surprised if Duke won that game. And then you could have a potential Duke and NC State Elite Eight matchup in a rematch of the ACC tournament quarterfinals. So I'm sure this region would treat that in a very sane way. The ACC making up a quarter of the Sweet 16 is just outstanding, and we don't have to talk about Virginia. We don't acknowledge them around here.
I was going to say, don't forget Virginia. They were in the tournament, sort of.
Were they in the tournament? I don't really count that.
Showed up for 8 or 9 minutes of their play-in game, I think.
Yeah, fair enough, but we just focus on the good ones around here.
Absolutely, and it's been a fun ride so far. It does continue on Thursday night, and I'll tell you what, it was not a happy scene in our house when we got that start time for that game.
Oh yeah, that's pretty brutal if you're an East Coaster. The Angelinos don't mind because it's right around dinner time for them, but man, that game is probably, especially if Clemson Arizona goes long, like imagine if that goes to overtime. Carolina won't play until 10 p.m.
Exactly, and as somebody who has a 9-year-old that wants to watch this game on a school night and have to be the guy that says it's not happening, this is not good for me. If I can complain a little further, I believe there are West Coast teams playing in games games earlier in the day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a San Diego State fan out there that's like, yep, I can't watch the game because it's on while I'm at work. Yep. And then there are Carolina fans like, I can't watch the game because it doesn't come on until 10 o'clock. You just swap those game times.
The infinite wisdom of the NCAA coming back again. Do you have DVR at least? Can you DVR the game?
I think we can DVR. This is new as of the Duke-UNC game at the end of the season. We got new TV setup, and right, I think we can, in fact, DVR it and rewatch it, but that's hard. You know,
yeah, there's no way you're keeping the result from a kid who goes to school in Chapel Hill.
It's perhaps he'll wake up at 4 a.m. and watch the game before school.
That's true commitment.
That
right
would
there
be commitment. But in any case, I'm not happy about the start time, and neither is anyone in my family.
So. Yeah, I don't think anyone is. I mean, 9:39 is not a reasonable time to start a basketball game.
Yes, countdown to tip-off at 8 p.m.
Brighton McConnell working hard.
Yes, Brighton McConnell will be burning the midnight oil to keep the studio lit at 8 p.m.
Just imagine Dave Nathan.
yes, absolutely. All right, Michael, any closing thoughts before we wrap up?
Yeah, just give a brief shout out to the Diamond Heels. UNC baseball sweeping Georgia Tech over the weekend, went 4-0 on the week. They're up to 21-4 and 7-2 in conference play. Andy,
23 consecutive home wins dating back to last year, I believe.
And they play North Carolina A&T on Tuesday night at the Bosch, and then they have a 7-game stretch where they play all away from Chapel Hill. 7 huge games at Wake Forest, at Virginia, and then neutral site against South Carolina and Charlotte. 7 crucial games.
I have got to get out to the Bosch this year. I have still not ever been to a game there.
It's an outstanding venue and cheap tickets.
I am making it a priority. Michael, thanks as always for hanging around talking sports, and I'll talk to you around the office.
Thank you, Andy.